Our scripture reading for today, Romans 1. I'll read the entire chapter. We're approaching the end, but again, we're a few weeks away from it because of the section we are in. But I'll read the entire chapter of 32 verses. Hear now the word of the Lord. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated under the gospel of God, which he had promised afore in his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ, to all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making a request, if by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end ye may be established, that is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me. Now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purposed to come unto you, but was let hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. I am a debtor, both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So, as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed, from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that, when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women to change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind, and to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who know in the judgment of God that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Here ends the reading of the Word of God. May you receive it as such. You may be seated. As I return your attention to this sobering list of 22, dare I repeat, sobering things, that is sobering to those who have minds renewed by the amazing grace and mercy of God to see them for the sobering things that they are. The detrimental and not beneficial things that someone, be they man or woman, made in the image of the thrice holy God, are given over to by the living, true, and only Lord God because they do not think. They're retaining the knowledge of the living, true, and only Lord God revealed and declared in creation, in their consciences, in the Scriptures, and preeminently in the Christ Jesus of the Bible is worth the effort. I've got more important things to do. Count my twist ties than think about God. As Paul declares in the verse that gives the reason for this, what I call sobering list of 22 sinful things, that Paul says those not wanting to retain the truth of God and their knowledge are filled with. Verse 28, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. And what follows this declaration by Paul is his Holy Spirit-inspired list of 22 things that are not convenient. 22 thinking, saying, and doing things that are not convenient, that will not bless the soul or body of the man or woman engaging in them, or their fellow man in Adam or in Christ, or glorify the Lord God who is showing to man by these things. The supreme folly of thinking that not using his mind correctly, that is to glorify and honor the Lord God with his mind and life, is a minor or insignificant thing. May God show you it isn't. As I continue in this list. But how many? How many in America today, even in the churches in America today, think and believe, honestly think and believe, that the wretched condition of America today, the wretched condition that America is in today, even the world today, is because of the majority of Americans, the majority of people on the earth, including how many in the churches, have no desire to retain the knowledge of the Lord God of the Bible in their minds. A truth that is powerfully shown in one of the three sobering things that Paul says the Lord God gives man over to, that I have reached in my attempt to consider this list, as you have seen, requiring more than one message. For I have already considered 9 of these 22 non-beneficial to man or glorifying to God things in previous messages. I thought I was going to cover more than 3 today, and it would be so much easier to rush over this list of 22 things rather than see how truly detrimental to the souls and bodies of men, male and female, man, who do not want to retain the knowledge of God in their lives. For as I said previously, name me one thing, show me one thing in this sobering list that has, is, or will bless the souls and bodies of anyone, be they a believer in God or still a lost idolater. Now I've reached the 10th thing that Paul lists at the end of verse 29. Whisperers, which would have been better to begin verse 30 with, since, as I mentioned last Sunday, whereas it is easy, if not sobering, to consider the reprobate mind of an unbeliever being full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, and malignity, it is difficult to picture the reprobate mind being filled with whisperers. This is a word describing what those not wanting to retain God in their knowledge can and will show themselves to be, even as Paul lists 2 other sobering things that those given over to a reprobate mind can show themselves to be as well, backbiters and haters of God. These 3 things, whisperers, backbiters, and haters of God, being the 3 things I will attempt to open up before you today. But even before I begin to do so,
I must ask.
How is it even possible for anyone to dare to say that man is basically good with such a lengthy and sobering list in the Bible? Does being a whisperer display the natural goodness of man? How about being a backbiter or a hater of God? That certainly shows the natural goodness of man. Such a foolish and false statement not only shows that man does not want to retain the knowledge of God in his sin-warped and fallen mind, but he does not want to retain the truth of the Bible in his mind either. Do you? But before focusing on these three characteristics of a reprobate mind, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, which show again how the saving gospel of Christ is the only hope of deliverance for anyone being enabled by the Lord God to face the truth of what his or her mind is negatively capable of, being filled with and full of, when not wanting to retain the truth of the living, true, and only Lord God in it. Believer, Face how truly dangerous it is to your redeemed soul. If your soul is redeemed here today, in thinking that not thinking about God, that not thinking about the God who has redeemed and saved you constantly and correctly is not that serious. It is. Anyone who doubts that the Western world, including the United States of America, has not been given over to a reprobate mind is refusing to lay what Paul writes in these verses over the Western world and America at this point in its history. You can't banish the truth about the living, true, and only Lord God from public discourse, from public declaration and belief, and expect life to be blessed because you do so. It is impossible. The exact opposite is being seen in America today. Friends, it's not an excess of God's beneficial CO2 that is the reason for all the problems this world is facing. It is the lack of thinking about and glorifying the God of the Bible that is the reason. But there are two things I want to repeat that even this sobering list can show you about man. Male and female man, even though it does so negatively. First, it should show you that you should never endorse, accept, or give any countenance to the demonic lie that man is simply a higher level of animal. That man is not a superior animal. He is not ape 2.0. Man is the unique but fallen image bearer of God. Genesis 1, 2, and 3 make this truth perfectly clear to all enabled by God to see these chapters of the Bible for what they are. The infallible historical record of who man uniquely is and why the world all of us have been born into is in the condition it is in since this historical space-time rebellion against God and rejection of the Word of God by Adam and Eve, our natural parents. Our natural parents choosing not to retain the truth of the Word of God in their minds, choosing rather to believe the father of lies, the devil. Something seen today in ways that would take me well beyond the verses I have reached. If I was to even briefly chase the number of lies being pushed as truth today. But brethren, even this non-ear-tickling list displays the truth that reprobate man,
The unsaved you know all around you, your unsaved family members, your unsaved friends, your unsaved co-workers who do not like to retain the truth of God in their knowledge are not improved apes. For if animals could do what man, even in his fallenness, does to other fallen men, they would take man to court for defamation of character. For God's animals, acting according to the instincts God has endowed them with, do not do what fallen men do. They do not do what fallen men do. It is only fallen man that displays the 22 things listed in these verses. Do you see any animal inventing evil things to the destruction of others? That's just one on the list. But a second thing about this list in general is even this list of 22 sinful things displays the amazing nature of the mind of man. For even as the mind of man is filled with things that display the folly of not retaining God in that mind, it is full of other detrimental and God-dishonoring things. But just think of it from this perspective. How many thoughts have you thought since arising off of your bed this morning? How many? If every one of those thoughts you thought while awake today were counted, how many thoughts would that total up to be? Yet, as your mind is focusing on one thing, it can have some other thought or thoughts course through it. To be welcomed or rejected, depending on whether or not you are a believer or a non-believer. And what does the psalmist say about this in Psalm 139, verse 4? For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. How many would be embarrassed to have their thoughts broadcast as text messages to all the addresses in their smartphones? Yet they are totally indifferent. They are totally dead to the fact that the living God is aware and hears every single one of them. Oh, I would blush. I would run from the room in shame if someone knew what I was thinking, even as they are not ashamed that God hears their thoughts. Which leads me to the 10th thing in Paul's list of 22 things that is a clear illustration of how not liking to retain the truth of God in your knowledge will result in the non-believer displaying things that show that he or she does not take seriously the truth that before a word is on their tongue, the Lord God knows it altogether. But not just the 10th thing in this list, but the 11th and 12th as well. Whisperers, backbiters, haters of God. Now, one of the things about these three words is that they are all that word, or I'm sure you have all committed to memory, that describes what they are. They are all hapax legomenons. That is, they only appear in this list in the Bible. So to begin, what does it mean to be given over to being a whisperer, singular, or whisperers, plural? For although this is a different word, Paul indicates that what should not be going on in the church in Corinth was going on there, one of the things being whisperings. 2 Corinthians 12:20. For I fear lest when I come I shall not find you such as I would, and that I shall be found unto you
such as you would not, lest there be debates, envyings, wraths, strife, backbitings, whisperings, a different word, swellings, tumults.
There were whisperings in the church in Corinth because there were believers there who needed to mortify, to put to death a characteristic of those given over to a reprobate mind. Because thinking about God was not something they wanted to do. They are whisperers. Now, the word simply means to speak in one's ear. Something that you don't want another person or persons to hear. But what is being emphasized is not the volume of the speaking, but the secrecy of the speaking. The secrecy of the speaking. For Paul is not saying you are giving evidence of being given over to a reprobate mind if you whisper something in a person's ear so that they're not embarrassed. This is simply being kind. You are not being a whisperer when you whisper in their ear, "You have something caught in your teeth from lunch." Or whispering in their ear, "You've forgotten to zip something up." No, whisperers are those who don't want the person they are talking about or others as well to know they are talking about them. So what do? They whisper. They whisper. They don't want that person or, as I said, other people to know what they are saying about that person. It is only for the ear of the person they are whispering it into. So you can be a whisperer and out in the middle of a lake where no one else can hear you and you're canoeing with someone and be yelling at them and you're a whisperer. As I said, this does not mean it is not possible to be a whisperer unless you do it quietly. No, what is being captured by the word is the truth that you don't want the other person to know what you are saying to someone else about them. You could be talking in an audible voice, hearable by others, but if that person or persons was to come into the room, you would immediately change the subject or lower your voice. Now, is Paul saying that all speaking about another person is whispering? No. For you can be telling a person about someone else for more than one reason that is not whispering. For example, you're not whispering when you say something about a person that he's ill and that we should be praying for them. Parents talking about the raising of their children without them present are not whispering. Someone asking someone else how they can help another person is not whispering. A person informing another person about someone else regarding their health or the fact that they got a new job is not whispering. Whispering, saying something about another person that you would not want that person to hear you saying that about him or her. Whispering, talking about another person without them being present that is not for their benefit, your benefit, or the person you are whispering it to. How many whispering husbands and wives say something about their husband or wife to someone else they would never want to get back to their husband or wife? How much whispering goes on in the workplace? Don't let the boss know. How much whispering has and is going on in Washington and throughout this country concerning the president, that those saying what they are saying would be embarrassed if the president was to hear them saying it or walk into the room while they were saying it. Now, is it wrong to tell another person that you think the president is doing things that you don't agree with to others? Would you shut up if he entered the room or be afraid to write a letter to him or tell him personally that you disagree with his policies and practices? Being honestly concerned about the policies and practices of government leaders is not whispering unless you are afraid they find out. I'm not afraid to tell the government in Canada through CBC newsfeed on their email that they are giving jabs that are detrimental to Canadians, even though they have deactivated me. They need to hear it.
was a communist.
He's destroying Canada. And if he was sitting here, I'd tell him, because he needs to be told. And President Biden is destroying America, and he needs to be told that as well. That's not whispering. When you are afraid, oh, the president's here.
I got a different message today. Hi, President, how you doing?
You're doing a great job. Repent and believe the gospel. You've got blood on your hands. That's the message the president needs to hear. Whispering, saying something about another person secretly that will not benefit you, the person you are whispering about, or the person you are whispering in the ear of. For remember, what does a whisperer need? What does a whisperer need? He or she needs someone willing to listen to their whisperings about another person. Oh, how many like to whisper about others. And oh, how many like to lend their ear to what the whisperer is saying. Oh, how easy it is to be detrimental to your own soul and the souls of others by being a whisperer or a whisperee, if that's a word. Proverbs 26:22, the words of a talebearer are as wounds and they go down into the innermost parts of the belly. The words of a whisperer are as wounds and they go down into the innermost parts of the belly. For even as Paul lists this as an evidence of being given over to a reprobate mind, how it should challenge anyone with the ability to speak in the hearing of someone else, especially in the all-hearing ear of Almighty God. Psalm 19:14, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. But notice as Paul lists how those not wanting to retain the knowledge of God in their minds and their thinking can be non-beneficial whisperers. He is not finished with showing how a reprobate mind can be heard via what comes out of the mouth. As a believer once said, say something, I want to see you. The first word of verse 30, the second of the three things I want to focus your attention on today, backbiters. Oh, just as a person can be given over to covetousness, can compound that sin if it results in him or her being full of envy towards someone having something that they are coveting but don't have. How much whispering is backbiting? Now, the word translated backbiting does not just refer to saying unkind, cruel, and cutting things behind a person's back. It has application to evil speaking in general. And remember how I said the sins in this list can feed on one another. Don't be surprised if a sinner given over to malice, given over to a malignant heart, displays that malice and malignity by what comes out of their mouth in evil speaking, regardless of who hears it. What did King Ahab say in the presence of King, I think it was Hezekiah? I hate him. He hated Micaiah. He didn't have any problem of evil speaking about a prophet of God. I hate him. For although this is the only time this word is used in this list, listen to how similar words are translated in the New Testament. Just two examples. James 4:11. Speak not evil one of another. Brethren, he that speaketh evil of his brother and judges his brother speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. 1 Peter 2:1. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings. Oh, is it any wonder that those who do not want to retain God in their knowledge, do not want to do so because they don't want to face the truth, that the Lord God of the Bible hears all the evil and scandalous talk that comes out of their mouths, even when the only two that can hear are the evil speaking person and God. Oh, I would hate for someone else to hear the evil and scandalous things I am saying because I'm having a bad hair day. Even as God hears them. Even as God hears them. Does something someone does you don't like or don't agree with cause you to pray for them? Or are you tempted to speak evil of them, even to yourself? Even to yourself. Oh Lord, you hear my idle words, and I will be judged for every idle word that I have spoken. What about every backbiting, scandalous, evil word that I have spoken in thy all-hearing presence? Lord, have mercy on me for the sins of my lips. O Lord, if thou wert to mark the iniquities of my tongue, I could not stand in thy holy presence. Lord, have mercy on me, a lip-sinning man. What fools are unbelieving men and women who think that not thinking about the living, true, and only God is not that serious. Even as they backbite with their tongues in the presence of the all-hearing, all-knowing God. Friends, how easy will it be for the Lord to justly judge impenitent, unbelieving sinners? By the mouth of two or three witnesses, let everything be established. For my first witness, I call the tongue of. Tongue, tell me what thee said. Witness number two, I call the ear of. Ear, tell me, what did thee hear? Oh friends, how blind and deceived are unbelievers, who think that they do not need the Lord Jesus Christ to save them from their tongue sins. James 3:6, and the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. But the unbelieving mind of man does not want to face the truth of what not wanting to retain the knowledge of God results in with respect to how he misuses his mouth, whisperers, backbiters. He refuses to face another thing that this results in. It results in God declaring to you through Paul what man becomes under the sovereignty of God for not wanting to retain the knowledge of God in his mind, in his thinking, unless he is sovereignly saved by the Lord from his truly wicked and wretched condition. For an unbeliever not restraining his lips, not guarding his lips, he doesn't just display how dangerous it is to him and others to not want to retain the knowledge of God in his mind, but this hatred is not only directed towards others made in the image of God, as seen in the things Paul has already listed, including the two that I've looked at. But what is the 12th negative thing Paul lists in this is the result of a person not wanting to retain the knowledge of God in their minds? Haters of God. Haters of God. When the mind of man, male and female man, does not want to retain the truth of God in those minds, it is judged by being given over to a mind that is not neutral. It's given over to a mind that is not a seeker after God, despite how popular this popular demonic lie is and heard today. But a mind that hates God. a mind that hates God. Neutrality with respect to the God who made all of us and owns all of us, whether believer or non-believer, is not possible. You can't display a dislike for God by not wanting to retain the truth of who He is in your mind and not have it result in the sobering judgment of God and becoming a hater of God. And friends, burn. Burn this truth into your mind. When Paul says, haters of God, he means the living, true, and only Lord God of the Scriptures, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and all the truth that He has been pleased to reveal about Himself through His Holy Spirit, infallibly inspired, written Word. For how many say, I believe in God. I was at that baseball game and I got up and I said the Pledge of Allegiance. I believe in God, one nation under God. Yet they will take offense at the truth that they are actually haters of God. Why? As long as they can define the letters G-O-D in a way that makes them comfortable with who they are and comfortable with the idol they incorrectly call God, not a problem. I believe in God. But hold forth to them the truth that you can't pick and choose. That you can't have a designer idol and call it God, then you will see the truth of what Paul declares here revealed. Haters of God. That's not my God. Ever heard that? That's not my God. If you're telling them some truth about the living, true, and only God, and they say, that's not my God, friends, they're a hater of God, they're an idolater that needs to repent of their idolatry. May God have mercy on them. For when men reject any truth that the Lord God has been pleased to reveal and declare about Himself, at that point or points, he or she is showing that they are haters of the living, true, and only Lord God. But friends, there is nothing worthy of hate in the living, true, and only Lord God. Just one verse out of Revelation, Revelation 4, verse 11. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. Yet how many express real dislike at some glorious attribute of God, displaying that at that point or points they hate God? One of them, His absolute sovereignty over all things, including the destinies and lives of everyone that has lived, is living, or will yet live. But behold, He doeth what? He doeth all what? He doeth all things how? He doeth all things well. Amen? Amen? Now, does the world, the flesh, and the devil, all who hate the living, true, and only God, want you to believe this, believer? And live this truth out in your life? Absolutely not. This is why the real Christian life is a real battle. You are not fighting neutral enemies, believer. You are not fighting indifferent enemies, believer. You are fighting real enemies that hate God. Dare I give examples of how unbelievers are haters of God? For example, if you were to say to someone, I wish you were dead. I wish you didn't exist. I wish you were dead. Would you be displaying love or hate towards that person? What is atheism?
what is an atheist, but a clear display of hatred towards God. Because the atheist does not want to embrace and confess the truth that the living, true, and only God of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost cannot not exist. God cannot not exist. Because God's eternality is a part of His essence. It is what makes the God of the Bible the unique and only true God that He is. Atheists hate God because they have been given over to a reprobate mind to deny the very existence of the God who cannot cease to exist. When a person says they believe in God, but what they say does not agree with what the living, true, and only Lord God has revealed and declared about Himself, and they do not want to change their view of God and repent of their misrepresenting of God to themselves and others, they are displaying hatred towards God and not love. For if I say something about you that is not true, or refuse to believe something about you that is true, what am I doing? I am misrepresenting you. I am maligning you. I am lying about you. And when you lie about someone, you are not displaying love towards them, but hatred. To believe or teach anything about God that is not true about Him is displaying hatred and not love towards Him. Pantheists hate God. For they believe and teach something about God that is not true. Polytheists, those who believe in many gods, many idols, polytheists hate God, for they believe and teach something about God that is not true. He is not many, He is one. One God in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Non-Trinitarian monotheists, Unitarians, Muslims, and Jews hate God. For they believe and teach something about God that is not true. Armenians hate God because they believe and teach things about God that are not true. Catholics hate God because they believe and teach things about God that are not true. Mormons hate God because they believe and teach things about God that are not true. Every person who has an understanding of God not supportable by the Bible hates God because they are believing something that is not true about God. How many show, even in the churches, show that if sovereign revival comes, it needs to begin in the churches. Because of the number who show by what they say they believe about God that they actually hate Him. For how many, even in the churches, show that they are haters and not lovers of God? Because the last thing they want to hear about is how gloriously awesome God is in all His attributes. Tell us how to be successful, preacher. Tell me how to overcome this or that problem in my life, preacher. But don't tell me that my greatest problem is that I don't love the Lord God with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength from the moment I wake up in the morning till the moment I drift off to sleep at night. Don't tell me that my not wanting to think about God, not wanting to be told and believe truths about the living, true, and only Lord God of the Scriptures is a display of my hatred for and not love for God. Oh, the folly of false preachers who constantly tell God-hating men and women that God loves them, something they have no biblical right to say, but never confront them with the truth that they are guilty of the greatest sin possible, not loving the living, true, and only Lord God with all their heart, soul, minds, and strength, but hating Him. For if I never thought about you, if I never wanted to think about you, if I never wanted to hear about you, would I be displaying love or hatred towards you? Psalm 10, verse 4, the wicked through the pride of his countenance will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. Oh, his user-definable idol is, but not the living, true, and only Lord God of the Bible. How do you show that you love someone? You love hearing things about them, how they are doing. When someone tells another person that they love them, what is a way to testify to that love? I want to know all that I can about you, so that I can please and honor you with my thoughts, with my words, and with my actions towards you. How many, even in the church, pray the prayers at the end of Psalm 19 and Psalm 139, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Do you? Do I? Brethren, please don't tell me that America is a nation of God-fearers or God-lovers. For apart from your own study, or hearing a long-winded preacher trying to open up the truth of what happens to the mind of man when he does not like to retain the knowledge of God in it, ask yourself this simple question. How many times last week, apart from your own discipline, were you reminded, encouraged, exhorted to think on the true, living, and only Lord God of the Bible? How many times? How many times will you be this week? How often will you be reminded and remind yourself that this is His world? This is my Father's world. This is His world. How often will you be reminded and remind yourself that He is the source of every drop of rain or every non-drop of rain? How often will you be reminded to remember that the very hairs of your head are all numbered, and that a sparrow does not fall to the ground apart from the will of your Heavenly Father? How often will you be reminded to remember that the president's heart is in the hand of the Lord, and He directs it even like a river course, wherever He sovereignly decides to lead the wicked mind of President Biden? Oh, that He might yet have mercy on this dying man. How often will you be reminded or remind yourself that the nations are a drop in the bucket and fine dust on the balance in comparison to the Lord God of the Bible? Yes, man sent out a new telescope into the heavens and are sending back amazing pictures. But the God who made the heavens knows every single one of those stars and has a name for every single one of them. How often will we be told the truth about the living, true, and only Lord God of the Bible on the public airwaves of America? ABC, CBS, NBC, MSNBC. Remember! Think about the God of the Bible today! How many times this week will you hear that on the airwaves of pagan America? Does it grieve you when evil thoughts molest? When evil thoughts molest and they crowd out, they push out God-honoring thoughts about God? What is worry but not thinking correctly about God? Reprobate sinners wax eloquent about the love of God for them, but never ask themselves, do they love the living Lord God of the Bible? No. They love their non-holy, non-sovereign, mono-attribute idol they call love, so that they can go on hating the living, true, and only Lord God of the Bible, who will not change, who cannot change His august, awesome holiness to please their fallen and warped thinking. Because change means improvement or decline. And there is nothing in the living, true, and only Lord God of the Bible that needs improving. And there is nothing in the living, true, and only Lord God that is ever going to decline and decay. And the clearest demonstration that man fallen in Adam is a natural born hater and not lover of God is preeminently seen when the most powerful political entity, the idolatrous pagan Roman Empire, and the most powerful religious entity, unbelieving Judaism, joined hands and killed the Son of God. This is how much we love you, Lord God. We crucified you. A Amazing love of God for believers. Amazing love of God for believing sinners, that out of man's greatest display of hatred towards both God and man, God is able to forgive all those who come to Him through His Son alone. Forgiven of all your sins, believer, including the greatest sin of not loving Him, the living, true, and only God of the Bible, with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. Has the Lord God saved you from your hatred of Him through His gift of saving faith alone in the finished work of His beloved and only begotten Son alone? Do you love God because He first loved you and sent His Son to be that propitiation for your sins? Even the sin of hating Him. Let us pray. Oh Lord, Your love, Your mercy, Your forgiveness, Your grace, these things are hard to imagine at times. They are true. They are wonderfully true. Because, oh Lord, if You were to judge me based on the thoughts that I've thought and the words that I've spoken even the last week, I would be cast out of Your presence forever, and rightly and justly so. Oh, if You were to mark our iniquities, who could stand? Not to love You with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, when You are altogether lovely. Lord, have mercy upon the many we could name, who show by their words and their actions that the last thing they do is love You. And Lord, if You had not been merciful and gracious to Your people gathered in this place, the same would have been true of us. We came into this world not God seekers, not God lovers, not neutral. We came into this world at enmity with You. And out of Your amazing grace, You show us the truth of ourselves so that we can see the truth of Your amazing love, even through the greatest of evil acts in the crucifixion of Your Son. How we thank You for the gift of faith, and pray, O Lord, that You would help us never to be ashamed of anything that is true about You. Help us to love You in all Your attributes, every single one of them, and never to deny or reject any of them. May Your Spirit be our teacher through His Word. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.